If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I already shared with the man outside that Thanksgiving's a good time for me. And during Thanksgiving, you know what I like to do? I know what a lot of people like to do, or at least you pretend like you like to do. You like to get together with a bunch of people and eat and all that stuff. And to be honest with you, on Thanksgiving, I kind of like to get by myself, at least take a moment or two to get by myself and to think about what God has done. Over the past year, over the past minutes, actually, because he's always working, amen. And I just use it usually as a time to stop and just to recollect and to think, and to be thankful. Because I believe this, and we're going to look at it today, I believe that the Word of God mandates. When I use the word mandate, I want you to take that seriously. The Word of God mandates that we as Christians live with an attitude of gratitude. That we walk around with thanksgiving in our heart, overflowing for what Christ has done for us. The sad fact of the matter is this, it seems the longer we go on in this world, the more we take God for granted. The more we take for granted what God has done in our life, what God is doing in our life. And let me tell you, if you're still here, there's yet to be done, and we ought to be thankful in advance for that. Have you ever praised God before it ever happened? Because he already promised in his word it was going to happen. And you read the word and you say, Lord, I thank you that what you said is true. And even though my eyes don't see that, faith tells me that you are faithful to what you promised. And I will see this come to pass. And before I ever see it with these eyes, I'm going to thank you by faith. And we're going to see that scripture mandates Christians to have that attitude of gratitude for everything in life. The sad fact is most of the most grumbling, complaining, whining. We could come up with a bunch of different adjectives, couldn't we? Probably get ourselves in trouble if we keep going. Some of the most negative people in the world that I know claim Christianity. They're griping. Hey, listen, I promise, some of you did it in this last election. You were griping about things. Don't crawl under the sea. If it wouldn't have went your way, you'd be griping about things some more. And did you know that's opposite of the attitude that God desires for his people to have? Did you know this? One of the prophets said it like this. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. He said, though he slay me, though God take me out of this world, he is still worthy of all of my praise and my adoration and my thanksgiving. You know why the world around you won't change? Because they don't see you overflowing with thanksgiving in your life. We talked about what the psalmist said, to enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and his courts with praise. I pray that some of you came here this morning praising him. But make no mistake, when you are truly a child of God, born again through the blood of Jesus Christ, you have access to his gates and his courts every single day. And God mandates that you approach him with thanksgiving in your heart. And you know what's sad? We're going to get to the bottom of this in a second. But what's sad is most of the time when we approach God, we're grumbling and we're complaining and we're begging him to do something because we're whining about whatever issue it is that is consuming us in life instead of being consumed by him and just overwhelmed with thanksgiving. Those of you who have been to both places in your lives, which would be anyone in here who has a pulse, you know the difference, don't you? You know the difference. When you know your focus ought to be God, but you're focusing on the world and the things of the flesh, and what happens then is you forfeit the opportunity to praise God for the good things that he's done because you're focused on that one thing that you don't like. I want to help you out, Christian. You're not here to get what you like. You are left here to proclaim the glory of your God in heaven who sent his only Son to die on your behalf. And you proclaim that glory through the thanksgiving that comes out of your life. So I want to talk to you about the mandate that we're going to see about the Christian attitude of gratitude. The Apostle Paul writes here in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. I'm only going to look at a few verses this morning. But I pray that we would leave here with a change in our attitude. That we would leave here, even if we didn't come here, with thanksgiving in our heart. Even if we didn't enter into His courts with praise, how many of you know He's worthy? I don't care what you're going through. Let me tell you what, if you're going through anything other than hell and judgment, you've received grace from God. You need to praise Him. Because that's what you deserve. That's what I deserve. So if I have anything going on other than that, and let me tell you something, everything else shrinks in comparison to that. What you really deserve. You have a reason to praise Him if you get that this morning. Colossians 3, verse 15, says this. Everybody there? I gave you plenty of time. Good. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And he goes on and he says this. And be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Underline that word, rule. Because I promise you this, when the peace of Christ rules in your heart, you will be thankful internally. He says, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, pay attention to this, whether in word or deed, whatever comes out of your mouth or it comes out of your life, pay attention to what he says. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. He goes and takes it a step further, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I want to talk about those things today in the attitude of gratitude. Number one, if you say today, man, I know already my attitude needs to change. I woke up this morning before I hit the floor. I was thinking about the things I needed to gripe about today. I was thinking about what did I need to complain about? What did I need to nag him about or her about? Because husbands, you do it too. Just not as much, right? I'm only kidding. The fact of the matter is you're controlled by the things you want to complain about. Instead of being controlled by the one who died to have control of you. I want to talk about gratitude. Number one, gratitude in your heart. How many of you say, I need an attitude change? Let me tell you, I promise you, I've been there. I've been there doing good things that Satan said, man, you need to complain about that. Before you know it, I'm complaining about this or that person or what's going on. I promise, I am as guilty as everyone in this room. And let me tell you this, I am dead wrong when I grab that kind of attitude. Yeah, the preacher said he was wrong. All the Baptists flipped out. They're like, man, we've never heard a preacher say he was wrong about anything. That's a joke. You don't have to give me a courtesy laugh. Just laugh the first time. Won't seem so staged. Mark, can we get one of those applause buttons? Big light. Laugh. Y'all already nervous. So like, man, he's already busted me. We haven't even got to the points yet. I understand we've all been there. I want to help you. I promise the Word of God wants to help you. The Spirit of Christ that lives in you wants to help you this morning. Those of you who don't know Jesus, I promise you today, He wants to show you that He can give you personally reason to be thankful beyond anything you can even imagine for saving your soul today. But gratitude in our hearts. How many of you understand it all starts inside? Verse 15, He tells us that. He lines it out for us. It's real easy. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And if the peace of Christ rules in your hearts, since you're members of that body, you were called to peace and be thankful. What is he saying? He's saying, man, when the peace of Christ in your heart consumes you. You remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the gospel of peace. Some of you got consumed by that peace. Some of you were weeping to know that, hey, I have peace with God finally in my life. Some of you, you've had peace with God for years, and you went back to that moment, you were overwhelmed by how you have peace with God, and you were thankful that morning, and you thanked God, you got on your face and said, thank you, God, for the peace that you've given me in my heart. And gratitude starts in our hearts, doesn't it? Listen, there's a lot of you who know how to say thank you, but it doesn't come from a pure heart. Because really saying thank you is just words, isn't it? And we like to know this. We like to know when we do something with good intentions and we fall short. We like to know this. God knows my heart. Right? We like to know in that situation. But let me tell you this. If you're just giving Him lip service with your praise and with your thanksgiving, He knows that your heart's not in the wrong place. It's the same as it is when you like that your heart was a little off. I mean, your actions were a little off, but your heart was seen by God. So here's the thing. If you came this morning and you mumbled the words to these songs and they weren't as an overflow of your heart praise toward Him, guess what you were doing? You were doing what most of Christianity does these days. You were just going through the motion. I frankly do not understand. This is just me. How a group this size does not blow the sheetrock off the wall. When we get to the part in Jesus Paid It All, where we're singing to the top of our lungs, praise the One who paid our debt and gave new life to us again, however that goes. I can't understand it. I can't understand. We're not even singing. We're just yelling it. I can't understand why things don't rattle when that happens. Other than the fact of there's no overflow from your heart. Because Jesus said it like this. He said, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. Now understand what He was saying. Listen, if you have evil in your heart, evil is going to come out. But here's the thing. If you really have praise in your heart, guess what? It's going to overflow out of your mouth. Don't you love those people who are just so caught up with Jesus and they want to thank Him and they're so grateful for how He rescued them from sin, from addiction, from the strongholds in their life, whatever the case may be. They're not afraid to sing off key and as loud as possible because they're so excited about what He's done in their heart. Gratitude begins there. It all starts inside. We're going to see in a moment, some of you are thankful because there's nothing inside. All you've learned how to go through the church motions and just say thank you, God. Say thank you over your meal. To sing songs that say thank you. They're not really an overflow of your heart. Now, I want to encourage you today, before we leave in our time together, I would encourage you to examine your heart and see if deep down you are thankful for the things that God has done, is doing, and will do in your life. The attitude of gratitude starts in your heart, an inward thankfulness for everything that Jesus has done for you. That's why I told you I like to get by myself. I'll be quite honest with you. I like to be by myself a lot. I have to. And I used to feel bad about this. Did you know that? Until I read about Jesus and how He would go away for 40 days and 40 nights and He'd get away from everybody. And you know why He would get away from everybody? I believe this with all my heart. He would get away from everybody to clear His mind and to recharge His heart. Did you know He was human? That's the great thing about Jesus that we often forget. He was 100% God, but He was also 100% man. Did you know He had people pulling at Him everywhere He went? But in that, His desire was to maintain as an example to us that attitude of gratitude toward the Father. And so what He had to do, He had to get away. And He had to think about things. I don't care where it is. Sometimes we need to get away. We need to just refocus. And we need to say, okay, God, my heart is not right where it needs to be in regard to Thanksgiving. Lord, it's this simple. You want to see your heart overflow? Lord, show me all the things I need to be thankful for that You've done in Christ that I've missed. I double dog dare you. Watch this. Those of you guys from back on the playground, triple dog dare you. I dare you to stop your busy life for a second. Stop taking everything for granted. Get alone with the Holy Spirit and say this. Lord, show me the things in my life because I know I'm human and I know that I miss a lot of things. Show me the things in my life that I take for granted, that I miss. And it's in those times that I promise you, your heart will begin to fill with thanksgiving and praise for God. That's where it all starts. Attitude of gratitude starts in your heart. Verse 15. Verse 16 tells us this. Not only should that attitude of gratitude be found in our heart, we read on in 16. Watch what he says here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart towards God. Now let's stop for a second. Who's he writing to as a whole? Of course, he's writing to the individual who's reading this. That individual needs to examine their heart, but he's also speaking to a whole. And we have to see this. We have to promote an attitude of gratitude in the household of God. In the household of God. Do you know he's writing to the family of God when he says, here's how you need to thank him. These are the ways you need to thank him. He said, with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. I love this verse. Because I've been in those churches where they say, well, the hymns are what we always sing. That's what we're always going to sing. You know what he's saying here? He's not getting an issue over praise music. He's not getting into an issue over, is it hymns? What he's getting into an issue of is when you collectively come together, you ought to erupt in some type of praise for what God has done in Christ Jesus. This ought to be a celebration every time we come here. Every single Sunday, we ought to celebrate the resurrection of Christ because it is in His new life that we can even claim to have new life at all. And we ought to come in here and we ought to shout and we ought to scream. And listen, watch this. You can raise your hands and praise Him because the Bible says it's cool. You can clap. You can sing songs. He didn't say anything about singing hymns and songs and spiritual songs in key, with instruments, without instruments. He's really not concerned by those things for a Church of Christ friends who think we're all going to hell because we have instruments. He's not concerned about that. You know what God is concerned with most of all? Himself. Why? Because He's the only one worthy of praise. When we get that in our hearts, we collectively will come together and the household of God will be a place that praises God and the whole world will hear us because it will be a roar. You go back, you read the book of Revelation. I assure you, you read it. John got a glimpse into heaven and he said it was a roar. He'd never heard anything like it before in all of his life. And you know what it was? It was the roar of praise around the throne where they collectively came together as the household of God with an attitude of gratitude. And around that throne, they say this, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." And when they get done, they say it again. And all the people who get upset about praise courses that repeat the chorus, they're all mad in heaven right now. Right? Well, I like that song, but they sang the chorus 72 times. That's just the beginning when you get to heaven because you're going to be so overwhelmed with thanksgiving for what God has done for you, you will fall on your face, and that's all you'll be able to say for all eternity. It's funny, we contemplate stupid things in our human mind. Well, what am I going to say to God when I see Him for the very first time? Nothing! You're going to fall on your face in awe and in thanksgiving and in praise. And the first thing that's going to come out of your mouth is you're holy, 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 holy. Everybody who's ever come in contact with Him, that was their first response. Holy. He's worthy. Why? Because He's the only one who is holy and He's the only one who is worthy in and of Himself. The holiness that we received was a gift from Him that rescued us from sin through Jesus Christ. Period. So understand this. There needs to be an attitude of gratitude in your hearts as an individual and as the household of God. He said, when you guys come together, you ought to be a community of thankful people. Thankful. I not to ever ask you to shout about the cross of Jesus Christ. Did He do something for you on the cross or did He not? I get tickled because people think I'm mad all the time. I'm just pumped up. I'm honest with myself about who I was apart from Christ. And in being honest with myself about who I was apart from Christ, I see the great sacrifice that He made for me, and I see that He rescued a pig from the slop, and He cleansed him and made him something worthy. And I didn't deserve any of it. So pardon me if I shout sometimes. Pardon me if I get excited. I promise you, I'm not mad. I'm excited about what Christ has done for me. And let me tell you, if I spend every hour of every day for the rest of my life shouting praise to Him, it still is not enough in comparison to what He's done for me. So I say this to you, why collectively do we struggle? I told you, Thanksgiving's a mandate. That's a mandate for the church. He said, come in and thank Him and praise Him through your songs, through what you do, through the teaching of the Word. Continue to look at the cross through the gospel that's presented in the Word and continue to get excited and continue to praise and continue to shout. And you don't need pom-poms or cheerleaders to help you get inspired to do that. The Word of God should inspire you to do that. You ought to get excited. Nothing wrong with it. Episcopals who are here with us today, let God set you free. You can shout. And it's okay. In fact, God's Word says do it. You can clap your hands. In fact, it's okay. God's Word said to do it. Baptists, hold on a second. In the Word, people dance as praise to the Lord.
Uh-oh. I just give it to you then, brother. You got to understand. I went to Baylor back when they were conservative.
The fact of the matter is we get caught up in the stupid things instead of getting caught up in our praise. And I know I've been in those churches. You know what their fear is? Here, I promise I've sat in staff meetings and they've used these terms.
Well, if we get these people too excited,
y'all think I'm joking. This is not made up.
Things will get out of control.
Now, I'm that guy who sits back in a room like that and goes, okay, control freak. This person is upset because they're no longer going to have control. Listen, I don't want control, you people. You know what I wish? I wish you would erupt in praise so heavy and so loud that I would have to pause and wait and not be able to finish my sermon because you're so caught up with Jesus and all you want to do is thank Him for what He's done. It wouldn't bother me a bit. This ain't my time anyways. And you know me, I'm going to take as long as I got to take. So the fact of the matter is this, why collectively in the household of God do we struggle with thankfulness for what God has done for us by sending Jesus to the cross? This is the point in the show where you answer the question. That was a question mark after me. I understand you're not comfortable answering out loud, but I want you to answer it in your heart. I know lots of reasons. It's because you've brought up religions. Or because you're worried about what people think. Or you're like that person in that meeting that I was in. What if things get out of control? I promise you this. God's given us something to keep everything in control. You see that? I'm going to tell you right now. You know what Jesus said about praise, worship? He said, do it in spirit and in truth. Do it in spirit and in truth. Be led by the Holy Spirit and stick to the truth. That's your guideline. I promise you this, if things get out of control because somebody's out of line with the Word of God, guess what? I'll be the first one to tell them, sit down, shut up. Y'all been to those churches? People think they're supposed to get around, jump around, act like a bunch of crazy people. That's not praise. That's drawing attention to yourself. Praise is going to start in your heart. I promise you this, when the individual's in this church, their heart is in a position of thanksgiving, the rest of the house of God's coming home. The rest of the house of God, we as a household will praise Him like we never have before for what He's done. Let's not wait till a certain Thursday in November to get excited about thanking God for stuff. That's why I don't like holidays. Like Valentine's Day, right? Love your wife once a year. See how that works out for you. Right? Gratitude in the household of God. Next, you're going to have that attitude of gratitude that Colossians mandates for. This is where it gets us. Watch this. We've seen gratitude in our hearts, gratitude in the household of God. Then he says this, we need to have gratitude in our habits. Look at verse 17. Gratitude in our habits and whatever you do. Whatever. You go ahead and underline that word, whatever, because I'm going to break it down for you in the Greek, and I want you to pay attention. So underline it, and then everybody look up when you're ready. I'm going to tell you what it means. Because it's very important. Everybody ready? If you're ready, your eyes are on me. Everybody looking at me right here? How many of you think it's fun to look at a Greek meaning and really get it down to the roots of what it means? Here's what whatever means in the Greek. Watch. Ready? Whatever. Don't I look scholarly? Here's another variation. Because I know what some people are going to say, well, Pastor, you don't know that that's in the right tense. Watch this. Anything. So what that means is whatever or anything that you do. Well, y'all were hoping it had another meaning. You were hoping what it said was whatever you do on Sunday. Or whatever you do when you go to small group. Or whatever you do whenever you want. However you want. That's not what it says. In everything that we do, this is the mandate. And I'm sick and tired of people preaching scripture like it's optional. This is the mandate. This is Paul commanding the church. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed. Now let me help you with word or deed. There's only two things you can do in this world. Word or deed. So what he does is he double stamps this, doesn't he? He says, whatever or anything that you could possibly find yourself doing, whether it's a matter of talking or whether it's a matter of doing. And that's really about it for those of us who are humans here today. Whatever you find yourself saying or doing. Now let me remind you, this is a mandate. This isn't Paul's list of options for the church. Whatever you find yourself saying or doing, whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Do it in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Why? Because without the Father, you wouldn't have Jesus. Without the Father, you wouldn't do anything for Jesus or anything by Jesus. It's through the Father that we need to be thankful. So next time you do a good deed, don't pat yourself on the back for it. Because you did a good deed. But then what you did is you posted it on social media so you could take credit for it. I'm going to help you guys. I'm going to help you. Can I? Is it like illegal to jump on social media 2 weeks in a row? If you do your deeds before men to be seen. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Okay? So when you do something to post on social media so you look spiritual, here's what Jesus said. He said this, that's your reward, it's done. Now you think you're storing stuff up in heaven because people won't shoot straight to you through the Word of God, but what you're doing is you're going to be very disappointed at your pile of rewards when you get there. Because you've gotten all the credit here. Because here's the thing, you didn't do it with a thankful heart toward God. Because if you did it with a thankful heart toward God, you would want God to get all the credit and you would never let anyone know about it. Do you know in the area of giving, Jesus Himself said, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. But I'm going to post it on social media as if that scripture doesn't apply. Is that really doing it out of the abundance of thanksgiving in your heart? Or is that doing it so you can get 47 likes from people who call themselves your friend that you've never had a conversation with in 20 years? Gratitude in our habits, an attitude of gratitude displayed through our lives. You know how I know if somebody's really thankful for the cross of Jesus Christ? It's not by what they say. It's not by how many scriptures they know. It's how they live their life. And I can spot somebody in an instant who's living their life out of obligation to the cross. Did you know that's not what we're supposed to do? Because if you're living out of obligation to the cross, you know what you're doing? You're trying to earn the cross. You're trying to pay it back. You're trying to make it right. You can't. How many of you know the difference between obligation and appreciation? But a person who is living their life out of appreciation for the cross, it will be evident. You know why? They won't care who gets the credit for anything. Because they know this. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Tell you something. There is not, I'll tell you right here from the pulpit. There is not a good fiber in this body. There's not one good cell. Not one. The only thing good in Kirk Hall is Jesus Christ and Him crucified on the cross and the new life that He's blessed me with through the grace of God, period. End of discussion. When we get that, we as believers will have a whole new attitude of gratitude in our heart. We'll know this. We'll know, man, I don't amount to anything. Everybody around here is trying to amount to something, right? Isn't it? You've been to school your whole life and they've been teaching you, you gotta amount to something. You gotta be somebody. Let me help you out. Jesus said somebody's are nobodies and nobody's are somebody. Man, this is a quiet, quiet church. I think I once went to this Lutheran church. I was a little more receptive. I had to say that because I picked on just about everyone else today. I want you to think about that for a second. Gratitude in your habits. How you live your life. Do you live your life like you really appreciate what Jesus did for you? Because here's the thing. I promise you, it's going to be very difficult for you to abuse His grace if you really appreciate His cross. Amen. It's going to be hard for you to say, I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyways. It's better to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission. If you apply that principle, you are applying the principle of a lost person. If you call yourself born again, stop applying that principle. It's better to not abuse grace. Because every time I abuse grace, you know what, I might as well just wipe the blood off the soles of my feet because I just trampled over the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Oh, things just got real, didn't they? Listen, I say that as someone who has abused grace, and I promise you this, an abuse of grace is a powerful conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit who lives in me. Why? Because I ought not abuse grace and live any way I want to live. I ought to live like I really appreciate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul's mandating it to the church here. Whatever you say, whatever you do, in all things, he says, do them to the glory of Christ, giving thanks to the Father. Not doing it for yourself or doing it for your own glory or your own gain or your own accolade or your own likes on social media. Do them all for the glory of Christ so that you can thank God for what He's done in you. You're going to have that attitude of gratitude. It's going to be gratitude shown in your habits. A life that is lived to express appreciation for the cross. I got an old friend. I talk about him a lot. I know this. I'm thankful right now because he's at the throne. He's on his face. He's singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. But he taught me a little something about ministry. And it motivates me. Bobby Clark, I don't know how he figured he knew. It seems like he kind of knew because he told me about 10 years before he passed away. He said, Doc, I need your help with something. I laughed. I thought he wanted me to call a turkey up for him. So what do you need? He said, number one, I need you to pray for me. And number two, I need you to support me any way you can. The last 10 years of my life, he said, I'm tired. He was in churches. He pastored churches for 40-something years. He said, I'm tired of begging people to serve Jesus. And they're not really thankful for what he's done. So I'm tired of begging people to serve Jesus. And I know this. I know if I can devote the last part of my life. He didn't know he just had 10 years. He said, I want to devote the last part of my life out of appreciation for what Jesus has done for me. There's hurting people, and I know where they are. I'm going to go there. And I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to put every ounce of energy and every ounce of life that I have left in me so that these people can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because of what Jesus has done for me. I don't want to get caught up in all the politics and all the nonsense of churches anymore. I want to go where the people need Christ and just overflow my thanksgiving into them. Let me tell you something. That man, for the last 10 years of his life, that's exactly what he did. And hundreds upon hundreds of people came to Christ. Hundreds upon hundreds and still coming to Christ today because of the work that God started through him. Why? Because he was sick of playing the church game and he wanted to just operate in the appreciation that he had for the cross. Man, what would happen if we as a group got that message? Are you listening? What would happen if we were a church that overflowed with an attitude of gratitude? Not only when things went our way. We're good at doing that, right? When we win, we praise him. When we lose, we say, God, where did you go? Guess what? He's still there. Just as faithful as he's always been, it just wasn't his will. Thank him for it. Thank you, God, that it wasn't your will because you have a different plan. When you don't get that job that you thought you should have had, and by golly, you were more qualified. I've never talked to anyone who was less qualified than the guy who got the job. I should have got it. I had more experience. But you didn't. Get over it. It wasn't God's will. Don't gripe to God. Praise Him. Here's how that works. Lord, I know you got something better. How many of you know this? If you're a child of God, when He shuts a door, He's got a better door for you to go through. God, I know you got something better. Now, it may not look like what I think it ought to look like, but Lord, I know I want it to look like what you want it to be. I'm going to praise you for it no matter what. What would happen if the church got that attitude? What would happen if today in your heart gratitude came forth like never before? Oh, I don't think we'd have a problem when we get to the singing part, shouting a little bit. Have you ever just been by yourself and you got overwhelmed by the gratitude in your heart? Almost wrecked your car? Shout to the top of your lungs? Sing and it didn't matter what key it was in? Loud. You ever been by yourself just making up songs? I'm going to be honest with you, songs none of us would ever listen to. Watch this. But you knew God was listening. You knew God was listening, and the overflow of your heart, praise came forth. That thanksgiving came out of your mouth. Let me tell you this. God is pleased when His children's appreciative hearts overflow toward heaven to Him. What would happen? I'm curious to know. I've never been of a part of a church that was just so full of gratitude that it just leaked everywhere. And you know what? It's probably because of me. Because I'm just like you guys. Sometimes I get caught up in all the things that I can gripe about. But you know what? In preparing this, and even now, I'm inviting God, change my heart. Let me be thankful. Let me be thankful for the thorns in my flesh. Because they're thorns, obviously, you want there, and you want them there for a reason. And I got to love those thorns just like I love the thorns, the roses. What would happen? What would happen if ministry became about Him? No, I'm serious. What would happen if all the ministries of this church became about Him? From the nursery to feeding the homeless. And I'm not saying that any of them aren't, but I'm saying, what if, to the highest degree ever, those things became about Him? And that's it. What would happen? What would happen? I don't know. I wish I could give you an answer. I've never seen it. The closest thing that I've ever seen it is to go back to Acts in the early church, and they were so full of gratitude in their heart. They were selling all their stuff and just laying it at the apostles' feet, out of appreciation for what Christ has done, and say, hey, you use this, do whatever we got to do to reach more people with the gospel. Uh-oh. Look, I'm not even going to springboard to a lesson on giving right there. Don't have to, do I? Holy Spirit does His job. I'd love to see it. I want to be honest with you. I invite God, start that in me. I would love to see that in me. Let me be a more thankful person. Why? So that when people see me, in the words I say, in the deeds that I do, they know they are only done because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. And they see me thanking the Father for making all that possible. If you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to help some of you out today. I really do. I pray that the Word of God has already been spoken to your heart through the Holy Spirit as He's interpreted it in your heart personally. But I'm going to promise you right now, if you're here today, I don't care if you're one of our counselors, I don't care if you're in our band, if you're here today and you say, Kirk, my heart is not a heart that beats with gratitude towards what God has done, I want to encourage you, make that right today with Him. Make that right. Lord, forgive me because I've taken some things for granted. List them. List them by name, one by one. If it's 100, we'll wait till you're done. Lord, I've taken these things for granted. And I know these things come for You. And let me promise you this. When you start praising Him for those things as individuals, I promise you what will happen in this building is a collective revival of thanksgiving toward God. You know when we're going to see revival in the world? I believe this with all my heart. When the church once again becomes thankful for what Jesus Christ has already done for them. Did you hear me? I believe that with all my heart. When we get thankful once again for what Jesus has done for us, you're here, you're in two groups. I promise you this. Group number one, you have no attitude of gratitude toward God this morning because you don't know Jesus personally as your Lord and Savior. You've never experienced what it's like to just be overwhelmed with forgiveness and mercy and and grace. I promise you, it is the greatest thing that a human being could ever experience in this life. And today, you know this. You know right now, something is speaking to your heart and something is going on. Let me tell you, that is a someone. That is the Holy Spirit of God showing you that you need Him more than you need the air you breathe, more than you need the water you drink. You need Jesus to forgive you of your sin today. You need Him to become Lord of your life. And He's drawing you, He's wooing you out of darkness and into His light. You're here today. You say, Kirk, that's me. That's why I'm not a thankful person. Because I realize right now in my heart has never been cleansed. And I cannot be thankful for God because I've never surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And God's telling me to do that right now. If that's you, you slip up your hand right now. You say, that's me. I need Jesus to save me this morning. Anyone like that? Says, I need Jesus to save me, to change my heart, to wash me of my sin, to give me a fresh start. Anyone here who needs that fresh start, that new beginning, I promise you, Jesus died so that you can have a new beginning this very day. Say, that's me. You slip it up high where I can see you, where I can pray for you. Thank you, ma'am. Keep that up for me. Thank you, sir. Keep that up for me. I want to look at you in just a second, eye to eye. Keep that hand up. Anyone else? Says, I need Jesus to save me today. Man, I've spent my whole life ungrateful. I've missed out on all these things. And I know this, that right now He's telling me He wants to forgive me of all my sin. Anyone else like that? You two who raised your hand, I want you to look at me right now, eye to eye. You believe right now that Jesus is telling you to surrender your life to Him, your Lord and your Savior. You willing to turn from your sin, trust Him and Him alone to forgive you? You willing to do that? Mean business with Him today, 100%. Here's the thing, He's calling you to leave that life out of darkness and into light. Here's the thing, not only is He calling you, He's the one who's going to do everything involved. All you're doing right now is you're surrendering to Him. You're willing to surrender and ready to surrender your life to Him today. Because I promise you this, I'm not one of those preachers who tell you it's not going to cost you anything. The life you once knew from this point forward is over. Are you willing to follow Jesus today? The Bible says this. The Bible says we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead and we shall be saved. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Let me tell you before we ever pray a prayer, prayers do not save people. Jesus saves people. Prayers acknowledge what God is doing. Is God saving you right now? Is God drawing you right now? What I want to do is with your mouth, I want you to acknowledge Him. I'm going to help you do that. We're going to pray this out loud. Those of you who want to pray with us, pray with us. Bow your head and pray with me. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know right now You are calling me to leave that life of sin. And You are calling me to Your forgiveness. Jesus, please forgive me. Wash me by Your blood. The blood that You shed on a cross for me. Lord Jesus, I ask that You would give me new life this very day. Jesus, I know You can because You rose from the grave. Would You lift me from the grave right now? I confess that You are my Lord. I turn my back on myself and my sin. I turn to You. You're my only hope. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for saving me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You two who prayed that prayer, I want you to do something right now. It takes a little courage. I promise you, we're all done. I want you to just make your way down one of these aisles. There's going to be some people here who are going to talk to you. Slip out. If you need to say, excuse me, those people will let you by. Anyone else who says, I need Jesus to save me? Who would have thought in a Thanksgiving message? You know what? God wants to give you reason this morning to be thankful. And the greatest reason that you can be thankful is when He washes you whiter than snow through the blood of Jesus Christ. I said there are two people here. There's that person. They're there. Praise the Lord. Who received new life, ushered in by His Holy Spirit this very moment. I wish we would praise God for what He does when He rescues people from darkness. No, you know what happens at a church like this where people are saved constantly? We take it for granted. Number one thing on my list, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for taking that for granted. Lives are rescued from hell weekly. You add to our number those who are being saved. Thank You, Jesus. I said there's two people. They're those people who didn't know Him. Then there are those people like me. who know Him beyond the shadow of a doubt, and who are known by Him, who have been rescued through the blood of Jesus Christ. We sometimes get caught up in griping about the things of this earth instead of getting caught up in praising our Father in heaven. I don't know where you are today in all of this. I know where God wants you to be. And He wants you to be on your face, allowing Him to overflow into your heart His grace and His mercy, so that you will then overflow with thanksgiving toward the cross of Jesus Christ, toward the plan of God who sent His only Son to this earth to rescue us from our sin. You're one of two people. Or you could be that unbound third person who has everything right, and who never takes anything for granted, who never complains, except for that guy already died for our cross on, died for our sins on a cross, and He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So I pray today that God would, in your heart, cause you to overflow with thanksgiving where you haven't been thankful. With gratitude where you've shown no gratitude. With praise where there used to be complaining and griping and moaning. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life. If you need prayer, these folks are here to pray with you. The altars are open. But allow the Holy Spirit to rule and to reign in you today.
Him with limitless, unhindered praise and adoration like He deserves. Can we just put everything aside, our thoughts, our distractions, our lives? Maybe you're here today and you need to confess some sin. Confess that sin and then get to your feet and praise Him that you have the privilege of going to Him and confessing that sin. It's all because He shed His blood on the cross for us. Amen.
I hear the Savior say,